Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of Batmania 66. I like how I just said that as a question, even though I double-checked with Holly before we started. This episode is called The Wail of the Siren.
It's episode 3 in season 3.
Episode 3 of season 3. This episode stars Joan Collins as the Siren, or Lorelei Searcy, as she's known on the opera circuit, which doesn't figure into the episode at all.
Nope.
If you remember, she was in last episode, and her power, because she is a metahuman, she has abilities far beyond those of mortal women, is to screech at a very high-pitched volume, which hypnotizes men so that they do her bidding. Of course, with us as always is Holly.
Hi!
And we don't have a guest this week, it's just the two of us, so let's launch right into it. Her plan, it's actually a pretty solid plan for a villain in Gotham.
It's a little, there's parts of it that are unnecessary, but I get it.
Yeah, but her basic plan is to, ensorcel Bruce Wayne and steal all his money, and unmask Batman and Robin so they lose their mystique and therefore their power in Gotham. Like, those two things make a lot of sense.
Yeah, or I thought she was gonna... I didn't think she was going to tell anyone. I thought she was going to just be like, hey, Batman and Robin, I know your real identity, so you have to leave me alone or else I'm going to tell people.
Oh, I thought the plan was to actually reveal their identities so that they were no longer anonymous, which meant they wouldn't be able to move freely around the city as much.
Did she say either of those things?
No, she said discover their identities. I think she said reveal at one point, which is maybe.
I don't know.
But she didn't specify what she would do with the information.
Okay, so, well, either way works.
When our episode begins, Siren is in Commissioner Gordon's office.
Yep. Which is where we left her at the end of the last one.
Yes.
When I said that Bonnie thought he hired a hooker.
Yes.
Sex worker, I'm sorry.
And she is hypnotizing Commissioner Gordon.
Screeching at him.
Yes. In that way that all men like and are ensorcelled by. And
it's just such an abrasive noise.
Oh, it's awful. And it happens in this episode.
So much.
So much. And then, as if it weren't bad enough when it happens once in a scene, there are scenes where she does it repeatedly over a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it just, it's...
Like, and not for any purpose. It's not like she's trying to get anyone, she's just being a dick to the henchmen.
Yep, and it is worse when she starts and stops.
Oh, yeah.
As all men know. She tells Commissioner Gordon that he's in her power, and he says, yes, I'm under your power, something like that, and she just basically goes, you can just say yes, even though that's superfluous as well, which I kind of loved. Like, you don't need to act hypnotized. Just say yes.
Well, and it was, yes, all powerful. Like,
yeah, it was,
he was overdoing it, and I'm like, yeah, I respect that. Yeah, I respect that.
She then tells him to call Batman and tell him to meet at a neutral location. At which point, he suggests his daughter's apartment.
Dude, don't stop. Stop inviting people to her apartment.
Do you think he pays for the apartment and that's why he's so cavalier about volunteering it?
I don't think so. She's got a good job at the library.
That's a penthouse apartment, though. It's a high floor. It's a big room. He might be helping out.
I mean, it's big enough to have her secret identity stuff.
Yeah,
and her own singers. Excuse me.
I understand how Bruce got all of the secret passages and stuff built into Wayne Manor. That's his building, his home. his riches. How did Batgirl get not only a secret wall, but a secret tunnel down to her motorcycle put in a building that presumably she does not own, with riches she presumably does not have?
Well, she's saving money if Commissioner Gordon is helping her out on her rent.
Do you think it was difficult to find an apartment with a secret passageway?
You know, maybe not in Gotham.
Oh, that's... Well, no, but she had to find one that wasn't specifically marked secret wall.
Oh, man, that was the difficult part.
It's like, I love these three apartments with these secret passageways, but they're all clearly labeled and I can't get the label off.
Maybe she has goo gone.
Painted over it.
Well, goo gone isn't painted over. Like, she peeled off the label and so now it doesn't have that sticky print on it. Was the story I was... That was my bit. It like wasn't it. Great, like but it. It was fun for me.
No, I like it. Commissioner Gordon offers up his daughter's apartment, and then Siren asks, where would Batman park? And Commissioner Gordon's like,
where
the garage.
Always park?
Duh.
A doy?
Yeah. Where do you park a car? You park it in the garage. Stupid.
Stupid.
We cut to Bruce and Dick answering the bat phone, and Bruce is hanging up, and Dick says, why would we meet at Barbara Gordon's apartment? And Bruce says, ours is not to question why. As duly deputized agents of the law, we are to follow orders. To which I wrote down, good vigilantes always follow orders from the police.
And I wrote, stop asking questions, Dick.
Yeah. Well, that too. Either or.
I mean, both were.
And they go. They are standing around in Barbara Gordon's apartment with Chief O'Hara and Barbara Gordon,
mm-hmm.
waiting for Commissioner Gordon, who is downstairs in the parking lot with Searcy, and she is ordering him to find the Batcave,
mm-hmm.
and then tells him to get started because they don't know how much time they have. We then cut away, so we don't know... Ordered to find the Batcave. This is where, hypnotized, Commissioner Gordon goes, oh, it's a beautiful plan. And I wrote down condescension, even while hypnotized. Because he is clearly talking down to her. It's really bad. Oh, it's a beautiful plan. Oh, sweetheart, it's a good plan
for a
girl.
Woman. Yeah.
We cut away. We don't know exactly what's going on with the Batmobile.
She says to get in the trunk.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. I have questions.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't the trunk be locked?
Nah.
I mean, I know it's an open-topped car, but you'd think there'd be some sort of security measures to keep somebody from just opening the trunk and putting things in it.
No, because, like, usually the narrator's in there, so...
Oh, but, okay. Well, then how'd he get back to the Batcave?
He walked. He used the elf cycle.
I was hoping you'd say that.
That he'd walk, or that
he took the elf cycle. And...
Alfred lets him borrow it. I have some hypotheses on Alfred this episode. I'm just gonna...
I love that going back many episodes, I do love the fact... that the elf cycle is just a literal bicycle.
Yeah.
It's not powered in any way.
No. He has to pedal.
I'm just surprised it's not one of the big front wheel bicycles.
Like an old-timey bicycle?
Yeah. And we cut to Searcy. I don't know why I like calling her Searcy better than
I don't
like
know either, because you just make me think of Game of Thrones every time you say it.
But her name is Searcy. It's Lorelai Searcy.
It's Lorelai, it's her first name.
Yeah, Searcy is a better name
for Siren.
Her. Fine. Siren is back in her lair, which is an underground grotto.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Barbara Gordon offers Batman...
Oh, a soft drink.
A soft drink, and he says, a soft drink is too relaxed.
Yes.
Sorry, well, I just felt like that was super necessary.
It's important. Remember, one screwdriver and Batman's out for the count, so.
It's true.
So a single Coke.
Oh, he'd be wired for hours.
Yeah. But too relaxed, somehow.
Oh, yeah. This doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Okay.
I can't believe this show doesn't make any sense. This is where we are in the grotto.
Right.
With Siren. And she is playing her harp for her two henchmen, Allegro and Adagio.
Mm-hmm.
And, Andante, sorry, not Adagio. Allegro and Andante. And as she's playing the harp and singing her terrible minstrel poems, she is in between lines of her poems shrieking.
It's the worst.
It's awful. And she will shriek for a second or two, and then stop, and then start again. And it's so much worse when it stops and starts. So much worse.
Okay, one, before we get to that part, which actually, no, that's fine. My note, and I showed you while we were watching, was stop doing that.
Yeah.
It was very upsetting. Two, and this happens actually before when she's just talking to the henchmen. One of the henchmen says, like most women, you keep talking about your operation.
Yep. Do you think it was...
super offensive.
Do you think she had an IED put in?
IUD?
No, an IED.
I don't think she had an IED put in there.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
She didn't want to get pregnant.
Yeah, well, that is one way to not get pregnant.
Well, she wanted to go out with a bang.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop.
Uterus. She then explains that nobody remembers the good women of history. Your Florence Nightingales, and who was the other one?
Ironically, I don't remember.
So she's right about one of them, at least. And then she lists off, but people remember their Mata Haris, and their Lucretia Borgia, and Lady Macbeth.
One of these things is not like the others.
But do you think since Siren is fictional, that in her world, Mata Hari and Lucretia Borgia are the fictional ones?
Are you implying that Lady Macbeth
is real in no. Bat is a real well, person in Batman?
Is in the same universe?
Yes.
I mean, I guess we can go with that. Why not? Oh my god.
So one of the problems I have with this scene.
One?
Yes.
Okay, the one problem.
Is a logistical problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are moments in this scene where she starts screeching,
mm-hmm.
which in other scenes instantly
mm-hmm.
has put a man under. However, the henchmen have a time after she starts screaming to grab their earmuffs at least twice during this scene.
Yep.
So that doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Unless a person can build up a tolerance for it.
I don't think you can build up a tolerance for that kind of noise, Ben.
But they,
I think you just go mad.
I don't know. Be with a woman long enough to learn how to tune her out. They,
You know...
This is why I'm single?
It wouldn't surprise me if that was the logic.
But... Yeah, so they have time to do that. Doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to anyone.
There's a lot of logical problems in this show that I ignore.
Yeah.
And just accept that's a real thing in Gotham.
You act like that's a weird thing to say, but it's pretty great.
It's fantastic.
Now that you use it, it's fantastic.
Oh, I love it. I love everything about it. I loved it when you said it the first time. But for whatever reason, that one just logistically was like, you know what? If you set a rule in your universe, you need to follow it the whole way through.
That's the problem. That's the problem you have with it.
Yeah.
That you have that problem with any kind of lack of consistency.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that really pisses me off in stories.
Yeah, I know. I've known you a while. That's what you do.
And
you have the same problem with movies.
Yes. Oh, very
if you're
so.
Going to set the grounds of this reality, or you're going to make new rules in this reality, you need to follow them.
Yes.
I like it. I work it.
Like, anyone who's seen, one of the best examples of this is the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
In the movie, it's revealed that the aliens are consuming humans for sustenance. Mm-hmm. Like spiders. They're draining them.
Mm-hmm.
However, the aliens spend a good portion of the movie vaporizing humans randomly. That wouldn't make sense. I mean, there's a lot of other problems with the movie. But in particular...
Well, what if it's like dandelions?
Proceed with your explanation.
Sometimes we eat dandelion greens in a salad, and sometimes we rip them out of our garden.
Okay. But we do it for a purpose. We don't...
They did it for a purpose.
What was the purpose?
What's the purpose of ripping dandelions out of your garden? You don't want them there.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. I mean, you don't go... I don't know why rutabaga is the first vegetable that popped into my head, but you don't go into a rutabaga patch and just pick two good ones, keep one for your salad, and randomly throw one into a fire. That just doesn't make sense.
But you do with dandelions.
Yeah, but dandelions aren't always food. Sometimes they're weeds.
Just like people.
All right. Just like Alice. Alice was a weed.
A weed.
Sorry. That was a tangent of a tangent. And now we are back to Inception. Blah.
If I had a tangent of my own.
You have a divi-divi-divi-divi-dum?
What?
All day long you'd bitty-bitty-bum if you were a wealthy man?
No, I was quoting Alice in Wonderland again.
Oh.
If I had a world of my own, nothing would be as it is, and everything would be as it isn't.
Yes, cats and rabbits would all live in fancy little houses.
And then Dinah goes, meow.
Right.
In my world, you wouldn't say meow. You'd say, yes, Miss Alice.
Yes, Your Majesty.
It's all tied in.
Yes.
Your Majesty.
Curtsy while you think. It saves time. Speaking of officious women... Siren is... What? No? You didn't like it?
No, it's just... You're giving her so much... Well, actually, she is pretty villainous, so... Okay.
A villainous villainous. We cut to Chief O'Hara and Barbara Gordon in Barbara's apartment. It is now evening. Chief O'Hara says, well, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going to go.
I've had enough.
If Commissioner Gordon calls, I'll call you. And she says, great, even if I'm not here, I'll get the message. And he goes, you'll answer when you're not here? And this is when she reveals, as Chief O'Hara puts it, one of those newfangled machines that answers in her own voice and replays the message later. Which, granted, in the late 60s, it was a pretty novel idea.
Right.
When messaging services were still a thing.
Do you think that they were a sponsor?
No, because they didn't name a brand. They just called it a machine.
Oh, you're right. Fine.
Sorry.
No, I liked it for a minute. And I need to
yes, it. They were sponsored by Answering Machine. this is when Barbara says randomly, well, at least it's not answering in Lorelei Searcy's voice. That would shatter all the windows in the building.
Batgirl leaps and bounds.
This is when she explains that Lorelei Searcy is a visiting opera singer who has a 7-octave range and blah, 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 plot point, exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And Chief O'Hara leaves and Barbara starts leaping and bounding.
So many leaps and bounds.
And figures out...
Grotto...
That, yes, Lorelei Searcy is the siren. Sirens live in live in grottos.
No, they don't.
And Lorelai Searcy is staying at the Grotto Arms Apartments, or hotel, something.
Whatever.
While she's in town for her opera concerts. And so she rushes to her secret panel, and this is the first time we hear the Batgirl theme.
This was awesome!
Yes, the Batgirl theme is decidedly groovy. I will post a link to Facebook and Twitter along with the episode.
So good.
And while Barbara Gordon is making her way to the Grotto Arms, Batman and Robin are getting back to the Batcave and attempting to use the Batcomputer to locate Commissioner Gordon. They attempt to, and the Batcomputer is not giving them any response. There's also a light going off, and Robin says, I've never seen that light go off before. That is the... Sorry, I wrote it down. Batcomputer resistance signal. Which means that it can't process the question. Now, first of all, I would say they're very likely not giving the computer enough parameters. Because if I go to Google and I type in, where is Commissioner Gordon? It's going to bring up anybody that has the name Commissioner or Gordon or where in the results. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that the Batcomputer is programmed for criminal activity. Therefore, Commissioner Gordon being a law-abiding citizen, the Batcomputer cannot process queries about Commissioner Gordon. That's not how computer systems work. You can't program motive into a computer. At least, I don't... Maybe it's a real thing in Gotham, but... This is where Commissioner Gordon... Oh, sorry. Alfred comes in, and...
When you type, where is Commissioner Gordon, into Google, the first thing that comes up is...
Gotham City?
Wikipedia.
Well, yeah. But this is where we discover that Batman and Robin still need to eat. And Alfred explains that their sandwiches and milk are ready to go in the study. Hopefully not buttermilk, because buttermilk is gross.
So glad they didn't eat it in the Batcave.
Crumbs everywhere.
So many crumbs.
They jump back onto the bat poles and use the steam-powered bat pole system to go back up.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Alfred is dusting the science bench.
For science!
And Commissioner Gordon pops out of the trunk. This is the moment I have been talking about almost since the podcast began, where Commissioner Gordon pops out, sees Alfred, and finally... only under hypnosis.
Puts everything together.
You're Alfred, Bruce Wayne's butler. You're also the mysterious nameless voice that answers the bat phone sometimes.
Yeah.
Finally. About flipping time. So, Commissioner Gordon...
It took 96 episodes.
Right.
I guess 97.
Commissioner Gordon, 96 and a half. Commissioner Gordon goes to the phone... to call Siren, and Alfred just goes, I understand. And Commissioner Gordon spends the entire time he's dialing going, that's really great of you. Most people would try to stop me. Dial, dial, dial. It's a rotary phone, so it takes forever. And Alfred takes out his roofie spray. Bat sleep spray. And sprays Commissioner Gordon. Who falls over into a walking sleep, because in one more scene, he's walked into Bruce's study, still asleep.
Yeah, he's sleepwalked.
And this is where I'm going to go nerdier than probably you will get, because... Alfred explains to Bruce and Dick that Commissioner Gordon is firmly in the arms of Mobius. Mobius is the Sandman, which is a character that Neil Gaiman introduced into the DC Universe in the 90s. as one of the elder forces in the universe, I have decided that I'm retconning Mobius as an elder god back into the 1966 Batman universe. I love this idea because part of me has now decided there's a fan theory. I just watched Batman Forever this morning, and there's a fan theory that the Joel Schumacher Batman movies are movies within the Tim Burton universe. So Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne goes to the movies and sees either Val Kilmer or George Clooney.
Okay.
I love the idea that the 1966 show is a real Bruce Wayne's dream of a Batman universe. So he's actually in Morbius's realm of sleep when all of this silliness is going on. Sorry. A wheel within a wheel here. While Commissioner Gordon is asleep in the study, and Alfred is explaining what happened with Commissioner Gordon trying to call Siren, Bruce gets a call on the phone, and it is Siren calling him. She then shrieks over the phone. Apparently hypnotism works over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately says...
I'm sorry. I just looked at my note, and it's the after Alfred... Just how calm he is with the... Sorry, we have to go back.
Oh, with the bat spray?
With the bat spray. In that moment, I wrote, Alfred is 100% a serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
So this is my new hypothesis, is that he's not setting it all up. He's letting them do... Or maybe he is setting it up to cover up his crimes.
So you think he's going full Patrick Bateman? Like, he's putting on the rain slicker while Commissioner Gordon is dialing the phone from American Psycho.
I have never seen that film.
Oh, okay. So, in American Psycho, there's a wonderful scene. Oh, hey, it's another Batman. Because it's, what's-his-face from the Nolan movies.
It's the Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, yeah.
I knew that, and I know there's a scene where he's, like, having sex and looking at himself in a mirror.
Yeah, this is not that scene. Okay. So there's a scene where he invites a guy over to listen to Huey Lewis in the news. And he's spouting...
making things up. That's not part of that movie.
Absolutely.
No, it is not, Ben. Why are you lying?
And you're the one who tells me Tiptoes is a real movie, goddamn.
You've watched it twice!
I still don't believe it's real. Patrick Bateman invites this guy over to listen to Huey Lewis in the news, I swear to God. And as he's talking about Huey Lewis in the news, he's putting on a rain slicker. Like a bright yellow rain slicker.
So, Ben, you mean to tell me when I decide to kill you, I'm going to invite you over to listen to Huey Lewis in the news?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's actually a wonderful, wonderful parody video that is Weird Al and Huey Lewis. And Huey Lewis is playing Patrick Bateman, and he is getting ready to slaughter Weird Al for parodying one of Huey Lewis's songs. It's fantastic. Anyway. So yeah, Alfred is going full Patrick Bateman, just getting his murder tools ready while Commissioner Gordon is on the phone.
Uh-huh.
We flash forward to Bruce getting hypnotized over the phone. And Bruce says, meet me at the Wayne Foundation building in my private office in half an hour. He leaves. He tells Dick and Alfred to screw off.
Yep.
Deuces. Like, none of your business. I'm out. We cut to the Wayne Family Foundation offices.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce is going to the safe.
Oh, it's my favorite. There's so many great parts of this episode.
Why is that your favorite?
Because the safe is hidden behind a painting in the office. Ben, ask me what the painting's of.
And what is the painting of?
A wall safe!
But a different... kind of wall safe. The wall safe in the painting was square, wasn't it?
No, it was exactly the same. It even had the same, like, hinges and the... It was great. That kind of stuff is the stuff that just makes my heart sing.
Maybe it wasn't a painting. Maybe it was the mirror of Erised, and only somebody who didn't want to get into the safe could get into the safe.
I don't have anything to throw at you.
Well, if you looked in the Mirror of Erised, you could use the Sorcerer's Stone and beam me with it.
And we really need to get to the closet. In this episode.
What kind of closet, Holly?
Don't jump the gun. And oh, no, wait. We are there.
Almost there. Very close.
Keep talking.
Bruce.
Do the thing. Get to the funny part.
Bruce then offers Siren the Wayne family jewels, which made me giggle.
Now you have them.
Yes.
The Wayne family jewels. Cut to Ben going,
that means balls. And. Oh, wait. Oh. She calls Commissioner Gordon because she decides he must be back in his office by now. And Chief O'Hara answers because he's sitting at Gordon's desk. I assume with his feet up, rifling through the papers on the desk.
Oh. 100% going through his shit.
And she then hypnotizes him over the phone.
Like you do.
And tells him to go jump in Gotham Lake.
So sad. But my thought was, what if it's only like 2 feet deep and he's
that was
just
my thought
jumping up and down. And
like a
just,
kid in a puddle.
Yes!
Pissing
off ducks.
Yes. Just she said, go jump in the lake. She did not say, stay there until you drown. So all he has to do is literally
we
jump.
Are the worst mind-controlled people ever, because it's like, you were not specific enough.
That's right. A man was arrested today for jumping in the lake. It's just video of us hopping up and down. Boingy, boingy, boingy.
Duck's so angry.
Duck's so angry. That is the name of my third album.
I think it's just one of the songs on your second album.
So yeah, jump in Gotham Park Lake. Robin and Batgirl show up.
Yep.
Oh, because Batgirl had called on the red phone from Commissioner Gordon's office earlier.
Yeah.
And
got Robin.
Got Robin, and Robin went to meet her.
And she's like, what about Batman? He's like, don't worry about it. He might show up.
Yeah, Batman is fishing. And they get it. They jump in the room. Circe tries to hypnotize them.
Siren.
But it doesn't work on women. And Robin is wearing earplugs that block out sound of over 1,400 decibels. Okay.
Oh, no.
Decibels are a measure of volume. Loudness. What her power is supposed to be based on is pitch, which would be frequency. And if something was 1,400 decibels,
we'd all be deaf, right?
We'd all be dead. Because that much vibration would liquefy our insides.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I had problems with that. But it's okay because
math.
I hear they raid the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
Math.
By the way, we're going to jump into Star Wars for a quick sec because I just brought that up in my mind. I have a hypothesis about the Kessel Run comment that so many nerds have a problem with. Because parsecs are a measure of distance. What if the Kessel Run is an extremely tricky patch of space that people usually have to go around? So he found a way through. So instead of taking 14 parsecs, he was able to do it in 12. That's my hypothesis.
I'll go with it.
Mostly because you want me to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Understood. 1,400 decibels. This is when Circe explains that she now owns all of the Wayne Foundation and everything else.
And the building.
So get out of my building or you're trespassing and I'll call the cops.
Right.
Robin goes, well, I guess we're licked. Actually says that.
Yep.
Which, again, giggle.
Ben made giggles. I went, nobody's licked yet. And we high-fived.
Yes.
Everyone laughed.
And then we played with the Wade family jewels.
Yeah.
And they leave. And as they're leaving, Robin leaves a little gold egg on a curtain.
It looked like a pill to me, but go ahead.
Robin laid an egg. And they leave.
I'm leaving.
Aw, Holly goes nappies.
I'm tired.
And they leave. They then hide in a closet. What kind of closet?
Broom closet!
And how do we know it's a broom closet?
You get a broom, and you get a broom, and you get a... There's... I wrote 12 to 13 brooms in this closet.
And...
That broom closet did not disappoint.
Holly actually shouted out, there's so many brooms in there!
I was very excited.
It's
I'm
called,
still really excited.
What did you expect to find in a broom closet?
Maybe some other cleaning supplies. Maybe like two brooms, like a push broom and the regular sweepy broom. Maybe even the small hand broom.
No, it's not a hand broom closet. It's not a push broom closet.
There was a push broom in there.
It's not a mop closet.
It Maybe was, a mop. That's a form of broom.
I
wet broom.
Hey, baby. Want to come back to my place for a wet broom?
Ooh, that sounds gross. It sounds like there's mustache things involved.
No, that's the push broom. And they are listening in on what turns out to be a bug that Robin had planted. And they hear Siren tell Bruce Wayne that he's going to leap off the roof.
Ben, I have a question.
Yes.
So that bug... Pill yeah. bug. The egg.
Uh-huh.
Match the curtains.
Did the carpet?
It did not match the carpet. So, here's my question. Do they have varying color bugs to put in different places? Or are they all gold and this is a happy accident? Because I'm just going to say that a gold bug is not subtle.
Gold bug. No, it's not. But Robin is garish to begin with.
Oh, you're right. Okay. That was just not like... He didn't have the jewel-encrusted one this
yeah.
time. I got you. Okay. Carry on.
Oh, we are up on the roof. And...
Bruce Wayne, slowly I turn.
Yes. And Siren is watching and going, one more step.
It was very slow.
Batgirl and Robin run up onto the roof. Robin shouts, Bruce Wayne, stop, or Mr. Wayne, stop, something like that. And then what is supposed to be Robin jumping, swinging out over one ledge of the roof and catching Bruce as he falls is really... Bruce sticking one foot out and Robin kind of pushing him.
Yeah, he nudged him.
Yeah, he nudged him back, even though Bruce was not moving towards the ledge mm-hmm. anymore. We then get our onomatopoeia fight.
Oh! Bam! Zap! Biff! Pow! Crash! Kapow! Sock! Pow again! Splat!
While the fight is going on, they knock... I don't know if it was Allegro or Andante, but they knock him into... a heating vent, and it is clearly not affixed to the roof in any way.
No.
Because it wobbles, and it wobbles, the bottom of the vent lifts off the ground.
The box?
Yes, the cardboard
yeah.
fake metal vent lifts off.
Aren't all things that aren't metal fake metal?
No, just fake glass.
Hmm.
Unless it's real glass, which is a real thing in Gotham.
Just like the Royal Mushroom Club.
Yes. Circe, Siren, during the course of the fight, gets knocked off the roof. She's hanging on by both hands, and Robin is going to let her die.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, just, nah, fix Bruce, or I'll let you drop.
He even takes his hands off her arms at one point.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And she explains that if the best part of the episode, by far, the best and the legitimately funny thing in the episode, she explains that to sing the reversal note, she may lose her voice forever, and she'd rather die. This is when Robin lets go, and she goes, I want to live!
It's so good.
It was really good.
It was well-timed, too.
It helps to have Joan Collins.
Yeah, you can't argue with Joan Collins.
Because, and that's...
She looked gorgeous, too.
She looked amazing.
Even with her hair all crazy.
Yeah, she looked great. And, of course, Yvonne Craig always looked amazing. And she agrees to sing the note. Interestingly, it doesn't appear later in the episode they make comments about her still singing, so it doesn't appear that she did lose her voice.
No, and she would have to make the note again to fix Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, and Chief O'Hara. Mm-hmm. And we then cut to Batman, Robin.
Nobody notices or says anything about Batman not being there.
Nope. But we cut to Batman and Robin in Commissioner Gordon's office. Mm-hmm. And he they use, I guess, bat wake spray?
Yeah.
Some unidentified spray.
Remember me now, yeah.
And they wake him up. And it's explained that a person has complete amnesia for the time they're under Siren's power. So he doesn't remember finally figuring everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they ask about Chief O'Hara, who walks in sopping wet.
Mm-hmm.
And explains that Batgirl saved him,
mm-hmm.
but ran away before...
Vanished.
Yes.
Which to me equals walked away casually and no one pays attention because she's a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there are, honestly, enough women in purple one-piece unitards...
Sparkly!
Sparkly purple unitards in Gotham that she could just blend into a crowd.
Yeah, just...
I can't help it. The purple unitard brigade was walking by and she disappeared.
A class of purple mime.
And he explains that he walked back to try and dry off, but it didn't work, and he then wrings out his coat onto the floor of Commissioner Gordon's office. I would be pissed.
So angry.
Then again, we cut to the Batcave, and they're now talking to them on the phone and explaining that Warden Crichton has been warned about Siren.
Yep.
And while that happens, we hear Penguin's laugh.
Yep.
And I had thought that Penguin had tapped into the phone line.
That's what I thought.
Which would have been really cool. Is not what happened.
Not what happened.
Batman explains that the Bat computer is now programmed to identify when criminals come into town. And we cut to Penguin and his new accomplice, Ethel Merman.
Yeah! Ethel Merman! I think I'm going to see if we can get somebody as a guest that will love it.
Ethel Merman's dead, so we can't get her. And we could have a seance. And Ethel Merman is going to be Lola Lasagna. What was her real name, though?
I thought her real name was Lola Lasagna.
No, he was calling her some other name.
He's calling her Lulu.
Lulu, there you go, yeah. And she goes, it's not Lulu anymore, it's Lola Lasagna now. So, they are going to do something that involves horse racing. Because she's in town for her racehorse. Somehow the Bat computer has not only identified the Penguin in town, but also identified and named the fact, and identified the fact that Penguin has a new accomplice, and that her name is Lola Lasagna. Why do we have to do anything? Can't the Bat computer just do it all for us at this point? Because that's some high-level shit going on right there. But that is the end of the episode. And I have to say, I really, really enjoy the season 3 gimmick of having a tease for the next villain at the end of the episode.
I like it, too.
It really does wet the whistle for... wet the appetite. Not wet the whistle. Wet the appetite for the next show. And the next show is going to be episode 99, The Sport of Penguins. Which we agreed, both of us, is competitive waddling.
Yes, everyone knows.
Or competitive tuxedo.
No.
Okay.
Not a fashion show.
And, so, that is the end of our episode. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you can do so, and Instagram, although I don't know if we're really...
I haven't been on Instagram in forever.
So, mostly Facebook and Twitter, kids, at Batmania66. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at batmania66mail@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. If it's something that you don't want me to see for any reason, you can send it directly to Holly at julietamor@gmail.com. We will see you next time for episode 99. Same bat time, same bat channel.